Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
The future is full of epic what-if questions. What if a hostile attack took down our nation's power grid? What if we could read minds? What if the supervolcano at Yellowstone erupted? And the truth is, the future is not so unknown. Our brightest scientific minds already have a clear picture of what the future will be like through science. And through science fiction stories that are actually backed up by real scientists, we can time travel into the future.
When you hear a beep, please state your name, date, and the position you are applying for. Then you may begin your 90-second pitch. When you hear a second beep, 15 seconds remain on the clock. When you hear a third beep, restate your name along with your zone and ID numbers.
My name is Leia Cruz. The date is June 8th, 2056, and I'm applying for the executive assistant position at the Mind Over Matter Initiative. The real reason I'm responding to your job posting is personal, not professional. 2 years ago, my stepbrother Kevin was convicted of a crime he didn't commit and sent to prison in Delaware to work a 15-year sentence. He suffers from severe OCD, specifically from a chronic loop of intrusive thoughts. When they questioned him as a suspect in a stabbing, the court read his thoughts of murder playing over and over again in his head as what actually happened instead of as a symptom of his mental illness. He was innocent, but he lost his youth, and I lost a stepbrother. I'm applying for this job because I believe in what this organization fights for. I believe in increased restrictions on mind-reading technology. I'm almost out of time, but I think that's it. Zone 9-002-682-2940.
From Luminary Media and Film Nation Entertainment, this is Hyperthetical, the show where what-ifs become now-whats. I'm Carrie Bechet. What are we doing here? I mean, you and me and everyone else on the planet, and the planet itself. Why do I feel this way? Why do we behave the way that we do? Why are we here, and what does it all mean? Since I was a little kid, I've been asking these questions, and the most compelling answers for me always came from art. So I danced and I painted, I wrote stories and poems, and eventually I went to theater school and I became an actor. But the questions persisted. So in pursuit of more and better answers, I started reading about developmental psychology, sociobiology, neuroscience, and physics. I read An Elegant Universe by Brian Greene, and I wrote embarrassing poems about string theory. Because, of course, the scientific process and the artistic process are not all that different from each other. It's about interrogating the unknown. It's about experimentation and discovery. And one medium where the two disciplines have always worked together most intimately is science fiction. So, in this show, we bring art and science together. Here's how it works. Every episode, we ask a what-if question about our future. In this episode, we ask, what if we could read minds? Then we explore that question in two ways. Through speculative science fiction, where we journey into not-so-normal scenarios from the perspective of very normal people, and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists, like Dr. Patrick House.
How heavy is the human brain?
Coincidentally, about like, if you ever held a hardback copy of Infinite Jest, it's about 3 pounds.
There's a lot going on in our 3 pounds of brain that we don't know about yet. But scientists like Dr. House are doing research to better understand how brains work, and they're even trying to create mind-reading technology. We're going to get back to our story about Leia, but first, Dr. House is going to help us imagine her world, a world where mind reading is an everyday phenomenon. Dr. House is a neuroscientist who spent years researching a mind control parasite. He's now using that research to understand how we can better access the inner workings of the human brain. And he thinks a future where we read each other's minds is inevitable. When we have the technology to listen to thoughts, we'll have access to that person's unfiltered, private feelings and desires. And that's going to have lots of complications.
On an interpersonal level, on a social level, on a legal level, on a moral level, we don't know how to deal with the encroachment into someone else's thoughts. Like, we don't know what to do with it. And we also don't know what to do with the context of planning and knowing the difference between a planned action and actually engaging in that action.
In other words, Dr. House believes a mind-reading future will present really complicated ethical scenarios. It reminds Dr. House of an old Twilight Zone episode where a bank teller gets the ability to read minds. He goes to work and he overhears the security guard's thoughts.
And the security guard is thinking, okay, at 4:30 p.m., the manager will leave the key on the desk and I'll go in and I'll open the drawer and I'll grab it at 4:36. I'll open the vault at 4:38. I'll take the bag of money. My wife will meet me outside at 4:42 and then I'll take off.
He's going to rob the bank.
The guy, unsure of what to do, calls the cops and says, hey, look, the security guard's going to rob the bank. Here's his plan. And the cops show up and they say, hey, you know, here's your plan. We know what you're planning. And they try to arrest him. And he's like, you know, I've been working here for 40 years. Every day I plan on robbing the bank. I'm never going to do it, but every day I plan on robbing the bank. And I think that is the only story that matters about this type of technology for like all of the 20th century, if you had to pick one.
And here is our story for the 21st century. Like the Twilight Zone, this story is fiction. Remember our character, Leia?
My name is Leia Cruz.
We met her at the beginning of the episode. We're going back to her story now. In a future world where we do have the technology to read minds.
The date is June 8th, 2056.
A little about Leia's world in 2056.
I'm applying for the executive assistant position at the Mind Over Matter Initiative.
She got the job that she applied for. She now works at the Mind Over Matter Initiative, a think tank that conducts studies on mind reading to prove its inherent dangers. When mind reading technology became widely available, the legal system was eager to use it. And in this case, they used the technology to send Leia's stepbrother Kevin to prison for an obsessive loop of his thoughts. 15 years for a murder he didn't even commit. Seeing Kevin get thrown in jail was horrifying for Leia. She has since sworn off the entire technology. But the problem is, mind reading is everywhere. Anyone over 18 in the United States can join a registry and legally read minds, except for one place. Washington, D.C. The government is still nervous about state secrets getting into the wrong hands. That's a good thing for Leia, who doesn't want her mind read. Living and working in D.C., she can breathe a little easier on the metro, at the laundromat, at the bar around the corner. Leia's mind should be on her new job, but lately she's been distracted. At home, she's having issues with her friend and roommate, Rachel.
Hey, Rachel. Hey, how's it going?
Fine.
You gonna make a smoothie?
I thought you hated strawberries!
I said, I thought you hated strawberries.
People change.
Leia is watching her favorite person drift away. She's trying. She really is. Trying to connect with Rachel, who's been her best friend and roommate since the first day of college. Rachel was there for Leia when her stepbrother was sent to prison. And after that, they made a pact to never read a mind again, in solidarity with Kevin. But there's a mind that Rachel wants to read, really badly. Her dad. Rachel's dad suffers from something called primary progressive aphasia, which has robbed him of his speech but has left his mind fully intact. Rachel realized her dad was fading fast, so she broke her pact with Leia and read her dad's mind.
You what?
I knew you'd be upset. That's why I didn't tell you. I can't believe you snooped around in my room.
I did not snoop around your room.
Like my mom trying to find my weed in high school.
I didn't go looking for the skullcap. I was just really worried because you were acting weird.
Because maybe I don't want to be, I don't know, your foot soldier in some revolution that is never going to happen.
I don't want a revolution. I want regulations.
You're doing that thing.
What thing?
Where you care more about what you decided to care about. Instead of me. Instead of my feelings.
You're just so ready to be disappointed in me, aren't you? You've just completely shut down. You can't even look me in the eye. You're the one who broke our pact.
Stop judging.
I'm not judging. Your ego is so fragile. I can't.
Don't. Let's just not talk for a while.
Great.
Great.
Leia thinks of nothing else. Nothing but the nauseating feeling that the part of her life with Rachel in it is over. And then, one day, while Leia is sitting on the toilet replaying that morning's non-conversation and wondering if she can possibly salvage their friendship, she gets a message.
Lease is up in 2 months. Gonna move to Yuli's place in Columbia Heights. Also, we're out of toilet paper.
Shit.
Leia runs to her bedroom and starts throwing everything that reminds her of Rachel into the trash. Gag gifts and t-shirts and borrowed books. And then she finds...
Dear Leia.
A postcard.
Hope you're having a terrible summer and that nothing is going your way.
This is, or was, a shared joke of Leia and Rachel's. To say exactly the opposite of how they feel about each other.
Morocco is... the worst, and I'm so happy you're not here with me. I hate you forever, Rachel.
Holding that postcard, Leia aches for a time when her best friend knew exactly what she meant. She's dying for Rachel to understand how she's feeling and dying to know what's going on in Rachel's head. What changed? What happened to her father? She'd do anything to know, anything. Even something illegal. So the next day at work, she does. Leia sneaks onto the research floor of the Mind Over Matter Institute to steal a mind reading device from her boss, Max.
Welcome, Max Fisher.
Shut up! A bit more about how this mind reading technology will work in 2056. From neuroscientist Dr. Patrick House. He says science fiction so far has basically gotten it right.
There'll be a helmet for sure. And I think it'll probably be some combination of from the inside and from the outside.
There will be two parts to mind-reading hardware. On the outside, a helmet or skull cap to receive signals, and on the inside of our bodies, millions of tiny transmitters that spread out across the brain.
Little radio transmitters on a nanoscale such that you could sit one next to your neurons. You could sit one in different parts of your brain and it would send out a signal.
Once those transmitters are inside, the cap on your head can read the signals. Then it can translate those signals into words.
The cap, it's sending a laser into your brain and it's reading out the kind of scattering of what happens when that laser comes back. And then I would listen.
Back in Leia's world.
Welcome, Max Fisher.
Shh, shut up.
The technology of mind reading is much the same. Think like a nicotine patch, but one that pairs wirelessly with a downloadable program on your phone. Not all patches are created equal, however. You can buy a patch and a skull cap from a drugstore for the price of a sweatshirt, but the best you're gonna get with that is a read on the other person's most basic thoughts, motor movements, mostly. But the patches in the Restricted Access Lab at the Mind Over Matter Initiative?
Top notch.
And there it is, a first-class patch waiting to be pocketed.
Welcome, Max Fisher.
Oh no.
Leia's boss is entering the lab. She hides herself in a closet. The idea of getting caught, of being handed over to the authorities, the irony of having her mind read in a courtroom by the very people she's vowed to help reform a quickly changing status quo, the terror of ending up like her stepbrother, Kevin, it's all too much. It's... wait. Oh, Max is leaving. And then, a text from Rachel.
You get my last message about the lease? Can you get drinks tonight? I'm pretty tired. I need you to do this for me. Just this one time, and I'll never ask anything else of you ever again. Meet me at Teddy Roosevelt, 7 p.m.
Remember how mind reading is super illegal in D.C.? Well, that's not entirely true. When mind-reading technology hit the consumer market, the tech world annexed Theodore Roosevelt Island as its own apolitical entity. It's an island about the size of a large golf course in the middle of the Potomac River. It became its own tiny city, adopting a carbon copy of DC's laws with one key difference. Mind-reading is legal. So what was once just a patch of green in the middle of the river has become a hub for mind-readers. Georgetown kids, yuppies, high schoolers with fake IDs. And while Leia can't join the registry without getting fired, or worse, Rachel can. Rachel has. Rachel can read Leia's mind and hear what Leia can't quite figure out how to say.
Teddy Roosevelt, bring your skull cap. Is this a joke? I swear it's not. Dramatic. See you at 7.
It's possible that in the future, we're going to want to do nefarious things with mind reading, like insider trading, uncovering affairs, or stealing state secrets. But honestly, Dr. House says the real application for mind reading for most people is probably a lot more basic.
The first thing people do with any technology, all they want to do, all we ever want to do, is communicate with other people. And so it will be the case that the version of this technology will be us sitting here either in a room or far away. We'll just use it to talk to other humans. There's a whole virtual world which you could make of infinite possibilities. And what do? They gather together in houses and talk in their little virtual avatars, right? That's what we do with technology. We just want to talk to people.
But actually using mind reading technology to talk to people is a little more complicated. Our thoughts aren't exactly straightforward.
If I'm actually being honest, I can't even read my own thoughts. If we tried to pause right now and carefully think about the thoughts that we're both having right now and have had today, they aren't formed in some sort of nice little list of declarative facts. They're not pictures. You think in words. Each and every word that you hear in your inner monologue is effectively a word that you could have spoken out loud but didn't, and you're just keeping it bottled inside.
Thoughts don't flow like prose. They don't glide from point A to point B. They ricochet from A to B to Z to A to B again. A whole mess of incomplete movements and unexpressed feelings.
I think the poetic way to say it is like there's a ballet in there of movement. And what we will see when we finally understand how to get in there and understand how to interpret that is going to be like a beautiful dance.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
I think that guy is making eyes at you.
He's not.
No, he is. Thanks for coming.
Why am I here? Is that really a...
Yeah.
You'd never.
But you would.
Don't.
No, I'm not trying to start a fight. I know why you did. I'm asking you to do it again.
You could get fired, or worse.
I know.
What about Kevin?
I know. I don't want... I know.
Why are you doing this?
If I just put on the patch, I can stay off the registry, I can keep my job, the dust will leave my system after...
Okay, but why are you doing this? You're not answering any of my questions. You're not supposed to. I thought you... Why?
I'm gonna put it on.
Are you sure you want to do this? You can't take it back. You can't take back anything you say in your head. Once you think it, it's mine. Like forever.
Get your phone out, run the app.
Okay. Hold still for a second.
Does it hurt?
The skull cap? No, it's, you know, just a really tight beanie.
How long until...
3 minutes.
Are you okay? You're sweating. I'm fine.
Not okay. Not okay.
Well, have some water.
Are your buds in? Could you hear that?
Oh God. Oh God. She can hear me. Don't say anything stupid. The bartender looks like Mr. Green. Mr. Green, my 11th grade chemistry teacher.
Mr. Green?
You heard of that?
Mr. Green. I had a sex dream about Mr. Green once.
And that?
Yeah. I can hear it all. This is a good patch. The one I used on Dad was a discount. I got a lot of thought noise feedback. A lot of fragments. Where'd you get this?
Work.
Stole it.
You stole this? Why would you steal this?
The only way.
The only way to what?
To convince you. To convince you.
Convince me what?
Don't cry. I felt terrible. I was angry at myself for being angry at you. I can't stop thinking about it. Thinking about it. I don't want to be him.
I'm sorry.
Kevin is trapped.
This is a lot. This is...
I'm sorry.
Reach out your hand. Snap it back. She hates it. Always hates it. Hates it when I'm sentimental.
What do you want from me, Leia?
I can't.
No tears.
What do you want?
No, Dad. Don't think about her, Dad. You want to know so badly. No tears. No, Dad. What did you hear? Learn. Here, what did you learn?
I don't want to talk about my dad.
Do you remember your trip to Morocco?
Yeah.
Shake it out. Shake it all out.
I found this.
My postcard.
Felt touched. Was touched by the gesture. More than a gesture. Proof that you really do. That you really do.
Where did you find it?
This man was selling them on the street. Pictures of his favorite places in Morocco. Postage was insane. Like, $40 to send you this stupid note.
Almost tossed it. Almost threw it in the trash. In the trash with the banana peel with the used tampon.
Throw it out. I don't care.
Texted me about the lease.
I thought you didn't want to talk about the lease.
No.
I wanted to fix us so bad, to tape it up like scotch tape. I tried.
It's fine.
It's over. That's what you're thinking. You're thinking it's over.
Hey, you're the one who's got the patch.
You have to know. You have to know that I know what really matters. The postcard, your dad.
I don't want to talk about my dad.
I'm sorry. We don't have to.
We have to talk. We have to talk
about
it.
You're freaking me out.
I want to know. I want you to want me to know.
Stop.
I can't stop. We have to talk about it, Rachel. We have to actually talk to each other.
What do you know now that you didn't know? Why do you act like you don't know
me? People are staring.
They paved paradise and put up a parking lot.
They what?
What?
They what? They paved paradise and put up a parking lot? Why did you say that?
I didn't.
Why did you think that then?
I didn't think it. I mean, I didn't think I thought it.
Graveyard, a grave for Kevin.
Maybe the patch is glitching.
No, I know what it is. I didn't consciously...
Kevin.
Oh. He wrote that?
Joni Mitchell.
A graveyard for books, for Kevin.
Our mom used to sing it to us when we would drive past this big, vacant lot. It's where I learned to drive. It used to be this big, beautiful bookstore, my mom's favorite bookstore. When we were really little, she'd tell us it was a book graveyard and all the books were buried under the asphalt. She'd make us sing the song as a prayer, like a silent prayer for the books.
Like the postcard, I don't like thinking about this. I don't like thinking about him.
About Kevin?
Rehab.
When he was in the treatment center?
Shut up.
Okay.
No, not you.
Me. I feel weird.
What about rehab? You don't have to tell me.
No, it's fine. When he was in rehab, he would think that lyric over and over again like a mantra.
They paved paradise and put up a parking lot. It's kind of corny.
No, he'd think it over and over again, so when the doctors would read his mind, they'd just hear that. They'd just hear that.
Oh,
It didn't work. He's gone. He's trapped. I don't want to be like him. I feel so alone, so alone. I can't.
Ow! Why'd you take it off?
You were in pain.
I only had one patch.
My dad told a joke. When I read his mind, I didn't have, like, a revelation. It didn't illuminate some big truth or secret or anything. We talked about normal stuff. My job. Lunch. You.
what shows we're watching.
And he told a joke?
He did. My mom walked in this insane new dress she bought, bright orange, and she said, "Adam, do you like my dress?" And my dad gave her a big thumbs up. And then I heard him think, "She looks like a goddamn traffic cone." And then he remembered I could hear him.
Did he take it back?
No. He looked at me straight in the eye and said, "Let's drop her off at a construction site so she can be useful for once."
You're glad you did it? That you read his mind?
I felt close to him. For the first time, I don't know, in a long time. Too long. This is my only chance to say goodbye to my dad in the right way. And I hated you the second I realized that, because I assumed you'd choose your principles over me. So it was easier to cut you out first before you could do any real damage. I'm sorry I didn't give you more of a chance to be on my side.
No, I'm sorry I didn't try harder to be. I wish it was easier to tell you how I feel.
Well, you showed me. That's almost the same thing. Do you wanna go home?
Yeah.
God, look at this bar. It's so quiet.
Everyone's got a patch.
Everyone except us.
You know, I won't judge you if you do it again, or...
I know.
Okay.
Let's get out of here.
Yes, please.
So I imagine it must have been very difficult pre-language to try to get ideas across. And then language made it a little bit more possible to convey what's going on in her head. But it's still really bad at that. Think about how many miscommunications and mistakes in the history of man and the history of communication have occurred because of an inability to communicate what you're truly wanting to say or what you're truly feeling to someone. And you could imagine that if we then had one step further, one step more, one step better of a little chip that's communicating between our brains. And to me, it's the same jump that we might have had from pre-language to language, that we might be able to, like, jump into communicating much, much better.
Of course, we have to wonder if it would be worth it, worth all of the miscommunications that will inevitably reveal themselves as we find new ways to connect. Do we need to share our full, unfiltered selves to finally, truly understand each other? Because the most challenging and most rewarding part of connecting is the sometimes excruciating effort that you have to put into saying what you mean on your terms and on purpose.
Hypothetical is a production of Luminary Media and Film Nation Entertainment in association with Transmitter Media. The series was created by Milan Popelka and is executive produced by Greta Cohn and Milan Popelka and produced by Caitlin Pierce and Michaela Salella with Oluwakemi Aladisui and with help from Todd Whitney. This episode's story was written by Maggie Rose. Leia Cruz was played by Cecilia Cerejito Block, and Rachel was played by Helena Fari. This series was edited by Stephanie Fu and Mira Sharma, sound design and mixing by Kate Belinsky, music by Dara Hirsch. Special thanks to Dr. Patrick House and the Science and Entertainment Exchange for connecting us to brilliant scientists like him. Additional thanks to Allison Cohen and Sarah Vacchiano from Film Nation Entertainment. I'm your host, Carrie Bechet. Thanks for listening.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.